But as promised, we are joined now by the sixth pick overall in Thursday's NBA draft. He is a center for the Orlando Magic. He averaged 13 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 blocks per game at Texas. He was second in the nation in blocks. He led the Big 12 with 15 double-doubles. He was a Big 12 all-defensive player. We are joined right now by Mo Bamba. Mo, it is so good to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Mo. I'm great. It's great to visit with you. Let me start first with the fact that you're from Harlem. So what was it like to be back in New York for the draft and then to hear your name called number 6 overall? Is there any way to describe what that night was like?
You know, it's still kind of, as about a week removed, and it's still kind of in awe that all of this is taking place. Like, life has come back into full circle, like complete 360. You know, you start off your career or your basketball here in Harlem, and then to hear your name called on Thursday on stage back in the city after all of the traveling and after all of the experiences that I've been through, it's awesome.
You know, you've got all the travel, you've got all the experiences and everything you've been through your entire life, so obviously you so badly want to know where you're going to go. The Magic, I know for a fact, were thrilled that you were still on the board at number 6. So what was your reaction when you heard your name called and found out you were going to Orlando?
It was awesome. I mean, they kind of ruined the surprise of it because a lot of cameras come over to you. And although there's still a little speculation behind where am I going, but you know, I know Orlando was an organization that was very thrilled. Their attention to detail in the pre-draft process was second to none, and I just knew that this was going to be a great place to land.
Mo Bamba joining us. You know, Mo, you met with them in Chicago for an interview, and Orlando's president of basketball operations, Jeff Weltman, said after you left, quote, "We all looked at each other with our jaws dropped. We could not believe that kid. He's a very impressive young guy. He blew us away in Chicago," end quote. So what did you take away from that conversation with the Magic, and what kind of sense did you have about the organization?
You know, it wasn't anything, like, crazy. It was just a formal conversation. They wanted to hear my story. They had their questions, obviously. And, you know, it wasn't just a one-way conversation. I was asking them questions about their organization and how they envisioned me. And, you know, I guess they really enjoyed that. It was pretty interactive.
Hey, Mo, I want to remind people that are listening right now that you just turned 20 last month.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're really incredibly mature, but you also understand that while you're approaching this with a great deal of enthusiasm, that it is a business, but you are approaching this with a great deal of maturity. Where's that maturity come from, that perspective? Because you're wise beyond your years.
Yeah. Well, I truly believe it comes from my parents, just the way I was raised. But it also comes from, like, all the experiences that I had outside of New York. Obviously, Harlem shaped who I was as a young man growing up in Harlem. You're forced to grow up faster, much faster than kids anywhere else. But going to Cardi and going to Westtown and going to Texas has all, you know, added this level of complexity to my character and personality.
Hey, Mo, what was it like growing up in Harlem?
I loved it. I mean, I remember I was walking, like a year or two ago, I was walking in the streets with a couple of my friends, and I was just like, and I finally had gotten back from school, and I was just like, man, I wouldn't rather be from anywhere else. It's just, I don't know, just the history of it, the impact that I've had on my community since I was younger. It's just, I wouldn't rather be from anywhere else.
And then when I look at your game on the floor, you already are an incredible defensive presence to the point that you've already been frequently compared to Rudy Gobert, which is incredibly high praise. In fact, what do you think when you hear that comparison?
That means people think very highly of me because Rudy is a guy who is honestly probably going to be Defensive Player of the Year, and we'll find that out tonight. But he's a guy who impacts the game in a way that no one else impacts it. And if I can be compared to him and people see this in my game, then it means the world to me.
And listen, the fact is defense is something that requires a lot of work and a lot of effort to the extent that a lot of guys just don't want to do it. I mean, let's face it, it's not a lot of fun, but you've tried to master it early in your career. Why is that something that's so important to you?
What's not fun? Defense isn't fun?
Yes, for a lot of people.
I mean, I don't understand why. It's actually, you know, it's the way how defense impacts a game, it just impacts, you know, the mentality of the people that you're playing against. You know, when someone can't score, scoring ultimately the game comes down to scoring. And when someone can't score, they're all in their head. They're trying to figure out different things to do. And when you have someone out of their game and you take them out mentally. There's no better feeling than that.
Mo Bamba joining us. All right, then at the same time, it's not like you're just going to be happy being just a great defensive presence. You've been working on your outside shot. And when asked about that, you said, quote, I mean, have you seen the direction of the league, end quote. And I love that response. So when you look at the way the game is played right now, how important is it then to be somebody who can impact the game on both ends?
It's very important, but that's not something that you want to – and it's very important, and I think that's something I'm going to be able to debut and show very early on in my career. But there's a couple areas where I wanted to work on as well and kind of master before, you know, I really stretch my game out there.
At the same time, I know you've been putting in a lot of work since the end of the season. I mean, you've been doing lots of things. In fact, everything from yoga to boxing on the beach to speeding up the release on your jumper. So give me a sense. How much better are you as a player right now than you were even at the end of the season?
I'd say if you went to jail at the end of my Texas run and you came out in the beginning of and you came out literally Thursday night on a draft, I'd say you'd see me play and you'd think I was a completely different person, just based off of just the confidence and the understanding of how much I studied the game and how much more feel it's added to my game since.
You know, we talked about the comparison to Rudy Gobert. Also, the word unicorn gets used when describing you and your game. You know, the idea of a big man who's a force, not only on defense, but somebody who can hit a step-back jumper. What do you make of that? Do you like that title, unicorn? Is it something that you embrace?
Absolutely. It means that you're doing something at a level that no one's ever seen, hence why they're calling you a unicorn.
Also, you've gone to the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT 2 years in a row. Let me ask you about that. What made you want to go there, and what have you taken away in those two trips from that conference?
Well, I never really knew what analytics were and how they kind of correlated to on-court production. And I thought, you know, what other better time to go than what other better platform to be at to hear about analytics and how meaningful they are to sports than the Sloan Conference itself. And, you know, just going was pretty eye-opening. I don't regret going at all.
Hey, Mo, before I let you go, I want to ask you about your teammate, sophomore guard Andrew Jones. And I bring this up because he was diagnosed with leukemia, and that's the kind of news that you would never expect to hear about a teammate. So what was it like going from practicing with him one day to him suddenly not being there the next day?
You know, Andrew was such an electrifying person that he FaceTimed in before practice and just boosts everyone's confidence and everyone's ego. So it really felt as if he was there the whole entire time.
So earlier this month, he was cleared to enroll in online classes to move into a dorm. So how proud are you of how he's dealt with his challenge?
Super proud of him. He called me on Thursday night just to tell me how proud he was of me and how much he loved me. And, you know, I just can't wait to see him come back and make these strides and to hopefully be in the green room someday.
What a good dude. Hey, listen, he's a great dude, right? Before the draft, I mean, he's calling you and telling you he's thinking about you when he's dealing with what he's dealing with. That's a great dude. Before the draft, there was growing buzz on Twitter from people who wanted you to wear number 5 because that would allow everybody to sing Bamba number 5. You're going to be wearing number 5 with the Magic. So what went into that decision?
You know, number 5 was a number that I wanted at Texas, but Royce Ham beat me to it. So I kind of just was going to play him one-on-one for it, but he chickened out. But, you know, number 5 was actually, you know, if I didn't get number 1, if I didn't get number 11, I actually wanted to be number 5 simply because Kevin Garnett wore number 5 and he was one of my favorite players.
What'd you like about his game and his mentality?
Just that you said it yourself, his mentality and the intensity that he brought on the floor.
The 6th pick overall in Thursday's draft, coming off a big year with Texas. Mo Bamba going to the Orlando Magic. Mo, it's great to meet you. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Hope we can do it again soon.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Mo, boy, that's not a normal 20-year-old. You don't hear too many guys who sound like that. In fact, you never hear a 20-year-old who sounds like that. And the reason you get a conversation like that is, one, he's a very unique young guy. And number 2, because of another very unique guy. You may or may not know this name. Those of us in this business know this name. George Galante. George Galante is a legend. George Galante is the guy who made that interview possible for the Orlando Magic. I would never say there's going to be another Ray Ritter, because there isn't. There simply is not. But this is the first guy that I could ever mention in the same breath with Golden State Warrior legend Raymond Ritter. George Galante, a legend in the making. George, you're not there yet, but man, you are well on your way. Ray's a legend. George is a legend in the making. Key attributes to a legend: enthusiasm, drive, ambition, it, and matching initials.